When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Barbell Medicine Podcast. I'm Dr. Jordan Feigenbaum. Today, on episode 256, we're going to talk about a study that's likely to be all over the mainstream media for the next few days. The study is called Cardiometabolic Effects of Omnivorous versus Vegan Diets in Identical Twins. It was published yesterday in the Journal of the American Medical Association, or JAMA, by a research group out of Stanford. Yep, that basically checks all the boxes for a study to make the news. So let's take a look at the study and see what they found. The research group based in Northern California recruited 22 pairs of identical adult twins, so 44 adults. Identical twins, also called monozygotic twins, develop from a single egg that's fertilized by a single sperm, which splits after the egg starts to develop. This means there are now two fertilized eggs sharing 100% of their genetic material. By comparison, dizygotic twins share about 50%, which is about the same as we see in non-twin siblings. In this study, the majority of the twins still live together, thereby reducing the contribution of differing environments on the results, which is pretty cool. So you have identical genetics, and about 75% of the sample group, they actually still lived with the opposing twin. So that makes for a pretty interesting study right from the outset. Now, in this study, the majority of the twins were women. Five pairs were men. The average age was about 40, and the subjects were predominantly white, the average BMI of about 26. We'll get to the blood work later when we talk about results, but these twins were apparently healthy based on just the baseline data. At random, one of each twin was assigned to either the vegan or omnivorous group. Because of their identical genetics, any differences between the diets would presumably be more clear. So let's take a look at the diets. Now, the study itself lasted for 8 weeks, and it was made up of two distinct four-week phases. The first four-week phase had the vegan or omnivorous meals delivered by a meal prep company, and the second four-week phase, they were self-prepared, so the folks cooked them at home. Now, during the delivery weeks, the average energy intake was about 1,629 calories per day in the vegan group and 1,815 calories in the omnivorous group. This gap was about the same when the twins entered that second four-week phase and had to cook for themselves. For protein, the vegans averaged about 60 grams of protein per day in both phases, whereas the omnivorous group consumed about 90 grams of protein in both phases. Carbohydrates were about 200 grams per day in the vegan group during the delivery phase, which slightly increased during the second phase where they cooked for themselves. Omnivores, on the other hand, ate a little bit less carbohydrates at 180 grams per day, and that remained about the same for both phases. Finally, dietary fat was about 70 grams in the vegan group for both phases compared to 80 grams per day in the omnivore group for both phases. Now, it should be noted that all of this food intake data collected is based on unannounced 24-hour dietary recalls. I can imagine the Kool-Aid man busting into their houses being like, oh yeah, fill out this dietary recall. While this type of dietary assessment tool has been validated for accuracy, they have been shown to be imprecise. It would have been cool to have more exact data, especially from the delivered meals. I mean, you're already making the food, so you could know exactly what the folks were delivered combined with some sort of analysis on adherence. That would be more controlled, sort of like a metabolic ward study where they lock people in a research facility and feed them exactly what the researchers want. It would have been really nice to have a version like that. Not quite as tidy, but pretty close. In any case, this is what we're working with. The vegan group apparently ate less calories, less protein, and less fat, and more carbs than the omnivorous group. And in both cases, subjects were instructed to choose minimally processed foods, build a balanced plate, whatever that means, with vegetables, starch, protein, and healthy fats, choose variety within each food group, and individualize these guidelines to meet preferences and needs. Now, they had two Zoom calls, I think, with the registered dietitians, ultimately to help these folks be adherent to whatever dietary pattern they were assigned to. Now, weight loss was not discouraged in this study, but they also didn't advocate for it. They told participants basically to eat until they were full. Blood work and other measurements were performed at baseline, just before the study started, again, after 4 weeks at the end of phase one where meals were being delivered, and at the end of week eight, after the subjects did the same diets by cooking their own food for 4 weeks. The primary outcome or main subject of interest in this study was what happens to the twins' low-density lipoprotein cholesterol levels, that's their LDL cholesterol, when exposed to the two different dietary patterns. LDL cholesterol is the lab test that tells you the amount of cholesterol being carried on a specific lipoprotein, and we call that lipoprotein LDL. This is often called bad cholesterol because LDL is the main, although not the only, lipoprotein that gets into the blood vessel walls, depositing cholesterol and setting off inflammation that causes plaque to grow on the inside of your vessels. Now, it should be noted that the baseline LDL cholesterol levels in the study were pretty low to begin with, the 114.6 milligrams per deciliter average for both groups, this basically leaves less room for improvement compared to a much higher level. Still, in this age group, and these folks were close to 40, the current guidelines for those without heart disease is to have an LDL cholesterol level below 100, or ideally below 70 milligrams per deciliter. Now, at the 8-week follow-up, the vegan group lowered their LDL cholesterol levels by about 13.9 milligrams per deciliter more than the omnivorous group, down to an average level of 95.5 milligrams per deciliter for the vegans compared to 116.1 milligrams per deciliter for the omnivore group. For secondary outcomes, the study also showed that those in the vegan group decreased their fasting insulin by 2.9 micro international units per liter compared to the omnivore group. The vegan group also lost an additional 1.9 kilograms, so that's about 4 pounds, compared to the omnivore group. Changes in HDL, triglycerides, B12, fasting glucose also went down in the vegan group from baseline, but this difference was not statistically significant compared to the omnivore group, who saw smaller yet similar decreases. Interestingly, the subjects in the vegan diet arm, they reported a decrease in dietary satisfaction on every measure apart from the healthy lifestyle scale, which increased at weeks 4 and 8 relative to baseline. Further, these same participants, they basically reported the largest decrease in diet satisfaction when eating outside of the home at weeks 4 and 8 compared to the baseline. Among participants in the omnivorous diet arm, diet satisfaction either increased at weeks 4 and 8 or was maintained from baseline reported levels. Now, both studies were likely eating healthier in the study than at baseline. There was less sugar, less refined grains, more vegetables and whole grains. So it's interesting to me that only the vegan arm actually reported a decrease in dietary satisfaction. Hey guys, it's Jordan with Barbell Medicine. Summer is nearly here, which means that warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them and support your fitness goals with Factor's fresh, never frozen, dietitian-approved meals. Factor is America's number one ready-to-eat meal delivery service and is much healthier than most takeout meals, which tend to be very high in calories due to both the portion size and the ingredients. Skip the grocery stores, the prep work, and the takeout trap, and let Factor do the work for you. Now, Factor has options to help fuel you up fast for breakfast, lunch, and dinner with chef-prepared, ready-to-eat meals delivered straight to your door. They're ready in 2 minutes, and they even have protein plus options to make sure each meal has at least 30 grams of protein in it. This summer, get Factor and enjoy eating well without the hassle. Simply choose your meals and enjoy fresh, flavor-packed meals delivered right to your door. Ready in just 2 minutes, no prep, no mess. Head to factormeals.com/BBM50 and use code BBM50 to get 50% off. That's code BBM50 at factormeals.com/BBM50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Want to hear one of my favorite sounds? That's the sound I hear when I get one of my questions right on Babbel. And if you want to learn a new language this year, I guarantee it'll be one of your favorite sounds too. I've been saying I wanted to learn another language for the longest time now, and I'm finally doing it this year with Babbel. I signed up for French because there's a lot of medical history that I'm interested in that was originally written in French. Plus, I've always wanted to travel to France, and when I finally get there, I'd like to be able to get around. Now, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and they're rooted in real-life situations delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. I actually recorded my first lesson in French. Here, take a listen. Matching au revoir to goodbye.
Au revoir.
Au revoir. When will I get the cool accent?
Bonjour.
All right. Got it. Now, that's just my first lesson, so don't judge me or my accent. But I did pick up on a few things that I thought were interesting. There's a lot of spaced repetition and cognitive flexibility being used in their lessons, and I've been pretty impressed so far with the program. The app and regular website are both super easy to use and look great, and the lessons can be done in 10 minutes or less. So far, I feel like I'm learning a lot, and we have a very special deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, babbel.com/barbellpod. That's BABBEL.com/barbellpod. There's rules and restrictions may apply, but 60% off. Check them out, guys.
Saving money on exterior wall lights now at Menards. Find your style with Patriot Lighting. Exterior lights enhance the look of your home. Choose from over 50 options from Patriot Lighting. Now through May 19th, get $10 instant savings on a single qualifying purchase of $100 or more on in-stock outdoor wall lights. Check out our entire selection of outdoor lights and see the rest of our deals happening now on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
Okay, so what does all this mean? So the authors go on to conclude that in this randomized clinical trial of the cardiometabolic effects of an omnivorous versus vegan diet in identical twins, the healthy vegan diet led to improved cardiometabolic outcomes compared with a healthy omnivorous diet. All right, so let's assess that claim. Let's take a closer look at the results. First, LDL cholesterol went down by an average of 13.9 milligrams per deciliter more in the vegans from the baseline average of 114 to the 8-week test was 95.5. At face value, this looks like a pretty significant decrease, but we have to remember that LDL cholesterol, that number, is derived from the Friedewald equation, which estimates LDL cholesterol as long as HDL cholesterol, triglycerides, and total cholesterol parameters are already known. Now, this estimate of LDL cholesterol has about a 2.7% analytical variation. That's the variation in the test due to the test itself, the limitations of the test in and of itself. And there's also an 8% biological variation, which is how much the test can vary in the same person based on normal human physiology. The difference between 114 to 95.5 seen in this study in the vegan group is well within that so-called reference change value, which is the smallest change required to conclude that two serial measurements are likely different from each other. Additionally, this study was done for only 8 weeks, which is pretty short to assess the magnitude of LDL cholesterol changes. We can't say for sure whether the change would have been bigger, smaller, or non-existent at 6 months or a year had the people kept eating this way. And on top of that, at 8 weeks' time, we can't really say if the LDL cholesterol changes are really different anyway. Another confounding variable in the results is the weight loss in the vegan group of about 4 pounds compared to the omnivores who more or less maintain their weight. We know that weight loss in and of itself from any diet tends to reduce LDL cholesterol. So it'd be nice if there was a subgroup analysis or individual data from those in the groups who did lose weight, those who did not lose weight, and those who maybe even gained weight. Because of the weight change, though, it's just hard to feel confident that the results are due solely to the vegan diet and not, at least in part, due to the weight loss. Now, onto the fasting insulin levels. The decrease in fasting insulin of 2.9 micro international units per liter is of unknown significance to me. I'm going to just admit that to you. As far as I can tell, going from a healthy level to a slightly lower but still normal level is hard to interpret. One, we don't really know the analytical and biological variation in the test itself in this population to know if this difference is real or just numbers on paper. Two, we also don't know if this lower level correlates with better health outcomes. Suffice it to say, I don't really know what to make of this other than it's interesting, kind of. Overall, I expect this study will get lots of airtime over the next few days on TV, radio, podcasts, and yep, likely social media. It's super cool that they use twins, many of whom live together, to control for genetic and environmental influences. And I'm guessing the headline will be something like, vegan diets are healthier than eating meat, or something polarizing like that. That's just the nature of the beast. And though it's not really what the study showed, I don't totally hate the message. Just hear me out on this. There's overwhelming amounts of data suggesting that shifting towards a more plant-based whole foods diet is beneficial for the vast majority of folks. Eating more fruits, eating more vegetables, whole grains, and less ultra-processed foods with added sugar, added sodium, and added fats is a dietary pattern I think we all would agree is healthier. Vegetarians and vegans also tend to eat an average of 263 and 600 fewer calories per day compared to those who eat both plants and meat, respectively. So for most, eating less calories and more plants is going to be a net benefit. The question that remains here is whether or not replacing lean, minimally, or unprocessed animal sources of protein with plant proteins in a diet that otherwise is already heavily plant-based, i.e. there's a lot of whole grains, vegetables, fruits, and legumes being consumed. And, you know, that's just a matter of debate. In this study, the authors conclude that there's some signal indicating that, yes, shifting to all plants all the time would be beneficial. However, I'm not sure I buy that the changes in LDL or fasting insulin are really that meaningful. Probably the strongest health-related support for replacing meat with plant protein and shifting towards a vegan dietary pattern from this study was in the differences in weight loss. An additional 4 pounds in 8 weeks is pretty significant, especially in folks who really didn't have that much to lose. The average BMI, again, was just about 26. Still, it's not clear that the weight loss would persist or that people would even continue with the vegan dietary pattern itself, given that they were increasingly dissatisfied with the diet. My personal opinion is that those eating this dietary pattern, which is admittedly rare amongst the general population at large, I mean, just how many people out there are eating a mostly plant-based diet, but with some lean animal sources of protein, it's just not that many. But I suspect that replacing lean animal protein in this like small subset of people with plant protein, I don't think that's going to make too big of a difference. Similarly, I don't think that shifting a vegetarian or vegan's dietary pattern to include more lean protein sources from animals would be beneficial for them. Yes, getting enough protein to maximize results from training can be more challenging on a vegan or vegetarian diet for some, but I don't think that's universal to a plant-based dietary pattern either. I feel like any change in the dietary pattern can make things more challenging in general. And the truth is, getting about 1.4 to 1.6 grams of protein per kilogram body weight per day is going to be enough for most to maximize their results from the gym, regardless of if they're vegan or omnivores. At that level of protein intake, the protein source having more or less essential amino acids or whatever other component of protein that interests you matters relatively little because the dose of protein is so high. That's it for this episode of the Barbell Medicine Podcast. If you like this episode, share it with a friend and please leave us a 5-star review. Thanks for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.